Hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on this Monday broadcast. Hope that you had an incredible weekend, and we had a great day at church on Sunday. And as you know, on our Monday broadcast, I always try to bring you up to speed as to what we did at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. And we have been doing drive-in church at 9 o'clock on Sunday, and then we have our 10:30 service that's inside. We have had a blast doing this, and I hope that you come and be part of it. We'd love to have you come join us. We'll make you feel right at home, and I hope you consider being with us on Sunday. Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10:30. One of the things that we have tackled as a church, and I want to invite you to be part of it, since many of you are familiar with the ministry that I'm about to talk about, maybe you'd like to have a part of this great ministry in spreading the gospel outside of the United States. Many of you know that we have a partnership with a pastor friend in Nigeria. And you know, Nigeria is a very unique country, and the gospel is being spread, and there's a lot of good things happening in Nigeria. Nigeria is one of those unique countries that whenever they have a presidential election, if they happen to elect a Christian as a president, then automatically there'll be a Muslim vice president, and vice versa. If they happen to elect a Muslim president, they will go ahead and put in place a Christian vice president. And so because of that, things are kind of up and down, and there is a lot of persecution in Nigeria. But we have a friend there that's been ministering there. He's actually from Nigeria, Pastor Friday. Pastor Friday is an unbelievable man. He loves the Lord. He's been involved in starting churches, and they have an orphanage over there. They have a Christian school over there. They are doing an amazing job over there. And I am so happy to be partner with this ministry. As a matter of fact, we're kind of the clearinghouse for them. And so as people give to support his ministry, they give through our church, and then we just pass it on to them. And we're so excited to be part of this ministry. So what Pastor Friday is working on right now is building another church building. That's right, building another church building. This man is unbelievable. He's in his 60s, but he is not letting up one iota. Man, he's going full steam ahead. And in the midst of all that is happening with the pandemic, he's still building churches. His wife Precious is behind him 100%. And so I want to encourage you to be part of this ministry. So we have an opportunity to have a matching fund. And many of you from this area, the Greater Hampton Roads area, may recall a meteorologist that was here for several years, a guy by the name of John Cash. Well, John Cash is an evangelist, and he's doing an unbelievable work in spreading the gospel, not only in the United States, but outside of the United States. And so he has put forth a challenge to us as a church, and I want to invite you to be part of this challenge. You know, to build a church in Nigeria, Pastor Friday believes he can build it for about $23,000. Now, that's a good deal, no matter how you look at it, to build a church building for $23,000. Well, John Cash has agreed to match dollar for dollar in raising this money. So our church has taken on the challenge to raise half of this money, $11,500, and we'd like you to be part of it. And so if you'd like to be part of helping to build a church in Nigeria, and I can promise you that Pastor Friday is the real deal. His ministry is a ministry that is reaching the lost. His ministry is viable. We've had several of our church members that have been over there. John Cash has been over there. And I would encourage you to give generously to what we are doing in helping to build this church building. So you can go on our church webpage and give online. If you go to hrcc7.org and then click on the giving tab, you can go ahead and just follow the step-by-step instructions. It is a safe way to give. And just go ahead and mark on that whatever you'd like to give. Just mark it Pastor Friday. Or if you want to mail in a check to our church, Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. And go ahead and get that check in the mail. Just write it out to Hickory Ridge Community Church. On the memo line, put Pastor Friday. And I promise you that every penny that comes in earmarked for Pastor Friday will go directly toward building this church building. So I hope that you will help us with this challenge. We've got about 5 or 6 weeks to do this. And we're looking forward to being part of this. And we'll keep you up to speed as to what God is doing there. Well, on Sunday, we talked about this subject of how can I face my future? And as you know, on the Monday broadcast, I kind of go through the message that I gave to our church on Sunday. We've been going through the book of James. It has been really an exciting time. I love the book of James. We are way down in chapter number 4, verses 13 through 17. And I want you to know as we begin the broadcast today that as you think about the future and you think about how God moves And we have an election coming up real quick here in the United States. And it's just a matter of weeks until we go and vote for the next president. And I want to encourage you to go out and I want to encourage you to vote the Bible, right? Vote the candidate that is closest to biblical values. And I promise you that if you do that, God will honor your vote. And we are just praying for God to do great things. But you know, sometimes I have discovered that when you go out to vote, it seems to me like in the United States anyway, about half of the time that I go out to vote, the guy that I vote for or the person that I vote for doesn't get elected. Half the time it seems they do, the other half seems they don't. So do your civic duty and get out and vote. But when you think about elections, as we put people into power, it's not really we as Americans that are putting people into power, it's actually God putting people in power. As a matter of fact, Paul reminds us in the book of Romans chapter 13 that the powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, God places people in position. Yes, we do our part by voting, but I want you to know something. Let me put you into a little insight here. God already knows who's going to win the election on November the 3rd. We don't know yet, but God already knows. It's not going to take him by surprise. He's not going to wake up on the 4th of November and says, man, I can't believe that person got elected. I didn't think they were going to get elected. God knows. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, I love how some of the Old Testament prophets actually referred to the leaders that God put in position. For example, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was not what we would consider a great king. He was a Babylonian king. But Jeremiah 25 verses 9, and then again in 27 verse number 6, God calls Nebuchadnezzar my deputy. And then later on in that same book in Jeremiah 43 verse number 10, God calls him Nebuchadnezzar my servant. And so as you think about this, God has his servants in place. And sometimes God allows people to be in leadership positions over us that we may not agree with. And as you look at the Old Testament, sometimes God would put a person in position of authority. And the reason he would allow that is to grab the attention of those who are living in a disobedience. God would allow sometimes an ungodly leader to lead his nation, to kind of grab the attention of his people, to say that you better get on the right track. And sometimes God does that. And so this broadcast today, I want to talk about the future, how to face the future. I want us to understand how we can make wise decisions. And James talks about this matter. And so today I have discovered, as I've looked at this passage, there are basically three mistakes that we make when we are making decisions. Now think about your life, where you are right now. You are where you are today because of the decisions and the choices that you made yesterday. A common phrase is this: you have the power of a choice. You can make any choice that you want, but you don't have the power over the consequences of your choices. In other words, we make choices, and then our choices make us. So where you are today is based upon what happened yesterday. So if you're not happy with where you are today, start making some changes today that will impact your future. As you think about the future, you've got to have vision for what God wants to do for your life. But you think about the future, and it's always about him. Don't make the future about yourself. Make the future about him. As you think about God controlling things, he is sovereign. He is God, and I am not. I remember when we started our church many years ago, I had these great plans of how we were going to have this church and how it was all going to fit together. Where would be at year one? Where would be at year five? Where would be year 10? Somebody was asking John MacArthur one day, where do you see your church in 10 years? And he says, I have no idea where we're going to be 10 years from now. We take one day at a time. It's not that we don't plan, but I think that God realizes that he is the one controlling the future, and the success of being a follower of Christ is found in finding the plan that God has. You know, don't get these plans together and say, okay, Lord, now you bless these plans. And God says, no, I don't want to bless your plans. I already got the plan. Come on and be part of my plan. And if you are part of God's plan, you will be successful. You know, I think for the Christian, that's what success is. Success in the life of a believer is fulfilling the purpose that God has for his life. That's what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that when David died, David fulfilled the purposes that God had for him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live longer than I have to. I don't want to live shorter than I'm supposed to. I want to fulfill the purpose that God has for me, and then I want to go on home. I want to just go on up to heaven to receive my heavenly reward, praying that God will say of me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that when we become followers of Christ, we are new creations. The old is done away with, and the new has taken place. The Bible also tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Now, the problem with freedom is this. Matter of fact, George Bernard Shaw, the avowed socialist of yesteryear, was often noted for making this statement, "Liberty means responsibility." That's why most men dread it. Most men dread freedom because if they have their freedom, they must be responsible for their actions. In other words, we eliminate the excuse for failure when we have freedom because the excuse for failure is done away with. We are the ones that are responsible. Freedom is a great gift that is given to us. It is a gift that must be guarded. It is a gift that must be protected. It is a gift that must be fought to keep. And as God gives us freedom, we have the freedom to make choices in our lives. As you think about choices in life, once you make a choice and you follow through with that choice, there's going to be good consequences or bad consequences based upon the integrity of your choices. So let's talk about three mistakes that we will often make as we're making our choices, okay? Now, before I give you the first mistake, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're feeling a little bit like you've lost your hope as you're listening to the broadcast today. Well, the life verse or the theme verse that we have at Hickory Ridge Community Church for 2020 is this, Romans chapter 13, verse number 15. I would encourage you to memorize this verse. I am a big proponent of memorizing God's word. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against God." When you memorize God's word, you get it into your heart, and when the enemy comes along to tempt you, what do? You quote back scriptures to him. But you can't quote back scriptures to the enemy when he's tempting you if you don't have them hidden in your heart. Here's a verse that I hope that you'll hide in your heart. Romans 13, verse 15. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. Now there's that phrase, God of hope. This is the only time in the New Testament that we find this phrase. And obviously God brings hope. God is the God of hope. But we don't see it brought together in this particular way anywhere else in the New Testament except for here. So Paul says that we are to be filled with hope that God gives us. If we have that hope, there's two things that will come with that hope, joy and peace as we trust him. And then he says in the last half of that verse, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to be filled with hope today. And I want you to realize that God is going to give you that hope, and a byproduct of that hope or proof that you have the hope of God, and it's not just this pie in the sky dreaming and hoping that things come together. Hope that is biblical hope that is given to us by God has joy and peace with it. So if you are lacking joy and or peace today, it's because you have lost your hope. Put your confidence back in God, and you will get your peace back. You'll get your joy back. So let's talk about making decisions, making wise decisions, and the three common mistakes that James points out to us today when we are in the process of making decisions. Mistake number one is planning without God. We could call this just ignoring the will of God. We're going to go ahead and make our plans, but we're not going to factor in what does God want us to do. James chapter 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this city or to that city, and we're going to spend a year there. We're going to carry on business, and we're going to make money. So James says, now listen, before you make these plans, don't plan without God. Now here is something that I have noticed that maybe this is something that I struggle with maybe more than you do as you're listening to the broadcast, but I think it's probably more common than many of us would like to admit, and that is this. We tend to substitute a lot of thinking for a lot of praying. In other words, if I think about something long enough, I'm thinking I'm praying about it. But in reality, I'm just thinking about it. I want to caution you against that. Now, James is not condemning planning. He's not saying don't plan. But what he is saying is plan, but when you plan, include God in your plans. You see, the Bible has a whole lot to say about planning. Even Jesus said this, a passage I know you're very familiar with in Luke chapter 14. He says, if a man goes out and he builds a house without first considering it, how much it's going to cost to build it, that man is a fool. Why? Because he may get into the building process and discover, uh-oh, this house cost me more than I have set aside to pay for. And he can't finish the project because he runs out of money. The book of Proverbs says over and over again that if we don't plan, we're foolish. So it is wise to plan. You know, I'm not against planning. I'm not against planning at all. I think that we need to gather all the facts we possibly can, but I think we need to spend an equal amount of time praying about the decision. The reason I think this is so important is because so many times we are presumptuous as we're making our plans. We presume certain things are going to be like they are today. Now, one thing this coronavirus has taught us, if nothing else, is that things are very uncertain. That's right. Things are very uncertain. It's great to have big dreams. It's great to have big goals, as long as you include God in those goals. You see, God wants us to fervently pray for His direction. There's nothing wrong at all with planning, but I don't want us to plan without bringing into the factor that God must be consulted. When you think about this solution, how do I go about fixing this mistake of planning without consulting God? The simple solution is that I consult God first in all of my plans. As you look at verse number 15, James says this, "Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or we will do that." You see, right in the middle of that word life is the word if. Life is pretty iffy. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you don't either. I can't even sometimes take an educated guess. But planning without God is presumptuous. Did you know that for Christians, for hundreds of years, they would used to sign documents, and at the end of signing their documents, they would write the initials D.V. at the end of all of their letters. They'd sign their name and then write D.V., which stood for the Latin phrase Deo Volente, meaning Lord willing. I'm signing this, and Lord willing, I'm going to come see you. I'm signing this, and Lord willing, I'll be able to fulfill what I'm signing my name to. So James says that ought to be our response. We ought to be planning, we ought to have goals, but we ought to be praying first, and we ought to preface our plans by saying, if the Lord wills. In Proverbs 16:1, it says, we may make great plans, but you know God has the last word. Proverbs 16:9 says, we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. You see, planning is great. Planning is what we ought to be doing. But I think even more important than planning is seeking God's face. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've prayed for things. And as I sat down and I said, you know what, this does not make sense. I remember when I began understanding the whole concept of giving to God. My wife and I were both in college and I was in seminary. She was finishing her undergrad degree. We were newlyweds and we were preparing for ministry. And I thought in my little pea brain that if anybody should be tithe deductible in their income, it ought to be me, right? Ought to be tithe exempt rather. I ought not to have to worry about giving because nobody's paying my education. You know, I'm not making a whole lot as it is. I'm having a hard time paying my bills. And I figured in my mind, I should not have to tithe. You know, I sat down and I figured out how much my income was. I figured out how much my bills were, and I could never get them to balance. Every month I would come up short. And I said to the Lord, there's no way furthermore that I can even afford to tithe. You know, God began to rebuke me about that one. I began to learn a valuable lesson about giving. I sought God's face and I said, okay, we're going to begin our married life together and we're going to learn to tithe. And we're going to do it together as a couple. And the very first part of our income is going to be given back to the Lord. You know, that was a tough decision to make. You know, we started doing that over 30 years ago. And now we look at tithing, you know, that's for new beginners, right? And I'd love to be at the stage in my life one day where I can live on 10% and give 90% back to the Lord. And so how am I working this goal in my life? Each year I increase my giving by a percentage amount. And each year I'm giving more and more and more. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to realize that God has so blessed us. And every year we pray about what we should give and we ask God to provide for us so that we can give. A lot of times it doesn't make sense. When we plan it out, it doesn't make sense financially. But we trust God and He has taken care of our needs. It just astounds me at how much God has taken care of our needs. So as we're planning, do not forget God. There was an article several years ago in the Reader's Digest magazine by Alexander Saul. He writes this: since I have spent well near 50 years working on the history of the Russian Revolution, in the process, I've collected hundreds of personal testimonies. I have read hundreds of books, contributed 8 volumes of my own. But if I were asked today to formulate as precisely as possible the main reason for the cause of the ruinous revolution that swelled up some 60 million Russians, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat the phrase, "Men have forgotten God." What is more, if I were called upon to identify the principal trait of the entire 20th century, I would be unable to reflect anything more precise than this statement: men have forgotten God. So as you're making your plans, do not forget God. Seek Him first as you're making plans. So the first mistake is planning without God. The second mistake is presuming about tomorrow. You see, too many times we look at our circumstances and we pray through a very distorted lens. That is the lens of our personal perception. We must instead pray for the clarity of Christ. Let me encourage you with this word: stop praying for God to bless your miserable plans. Instead, start asking Him to open the eyes of your heart so that you can see what He is already blessing, so that you can bless and follow that plan. Stop praying, "God, I've made my plans. I've worked them all out. Now would you bless them?" Instead, pray, "God, help me to do what you're blessing." Look at how James responds to this in verses 14 and 16 of James chapter 4. He says, "Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for just a little while and then you vanish. As it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil." You know, I think about planning, and I think about so many times we worry about having a plan to make an extra dollar. And in the process of trying to get that extra dollar, we forfeit $100 worth of blessings that could have been ours if we had spent more time praying about where God was moving and less time worrying about making an extra buck. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19 that "my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus." You see, I don't just work hard to make a living. I work hard because that's my ministry. I work hard because that is my way of worshiping God. Have you ever thought about work as an opportunity of worshiping God? Listen, when you go to work and you do a really powerful job, a dynamic job, you are worshiping God by using the talents that He has given to you. You are actually creating a platform that you can share the gospel with people when you do your job well. As you think about the opportunities that lie before us, our life is very short. In Psalm 103, verse 15, it says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They just flourish like a flower in a field, and then they're gone away with." In Psalm 39, it says that man is a mere phantom as his life goes to and fro. He brushes about, but only in vain. He heaps up all of this wealth, not knowing who will get it when he dies. "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." Psalm 102 says that "my days will vanish like smoke, and my bones will burn like burning embers." You see, days are short. The psalmist also said that our days is like the evening shadow, like a wither of grass that has gone away with quickly. As you think about how life is so short, there's so many things that we must realize about the fact that we cannot boast about tomorrow. We can't presume on tomorrow, because Proverbs 27:1 reminds us we don't know what a day may bring forth. Now, I'm not against announcing goals. I think it's important to announce goals. We have a goal to help Pastor Friday. We have a goal to raise $23,000. Half of that's going to be matched, so we have to raise just $11,500. That's a goal. Announcing a goal can either be a statement of faith or it can be a statement of arrogance. What makes the difference? What is the motive for what we are doing? So the solution is this: live each day to its fullest. Well, I hope that you join me tomorrow in the broadcast, because I want to continue on this study that we've been doing, the mistakes that we make when we are planning. We've learned two mistakes so far. Mistake number one is presuming on the future. Mistake number two is not seeking God's face. I hope you join me tomorrow on the broadcast, and I'll give you mistake number three and how we can overcome that mistake. So, Lord, we come before you today as we close off our broadcast today. We thank you for your word that encourages us, that inspires us. I pray that those who are listening to this broadcast will avoid these mistakes and they seek your face as they are planning for the future. I pray that they not be filled with anxiety or fear, but they will trust you completely. And we're going to pray this in the name of our dear, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.